exactly what it wound up being. They intentionally were not doing something they were told to do. In Romans, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul is talking to the brethren there, and he tells them down, it's one of those places where it'd be hard to just start, but look at verse 17. Romans 2, verse 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. Verse 19. And are confident that you are yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Verse 20. An instructor of the foolish, of teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you teach yourself? And he's getting to the point where there are people who know what the truth is and can teach it, but they're not abiding by it. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? Nobody likes to be ripped off, do they? I don't think anybody would enjoy that. Nobody enjoys being stolen from, but it is a part, I'm sorry to say, it is as almost a fundamental part of our society as anything else in our society. I mean, from the top down or from the bottom up, this attitude that people have toward their things and how they can conduct themselves or their life and how it relates to others is strange. Recent surveys have shown the tremendous problems with stealing in our society. According to the IRS, a few years ago, over $300 billion a year go uncollected. That's a lot of money. Medicare insurance said fraud costs the government $179 billion a year. That's fraud. U.S. Chamber of Commerce estimates that 75% of employees steal from their workplace, which is an amazing statistic. The Boston Globe, doing an article, makes a statement that $400 billion a year is lost in productivity due to time theft. And that was their fancy word for saying loafing, or loafing around or doing nothing. Went on to say in that article, Boston Globe article, said one-third of all U.S. corporate bankruptcies. One-third of all U.S. corporate bankruptcies are directly caused by employee theft. Man, that was astounding. I read that. Amazing. Even the Economic Policy Foundation, and that's a big think tank group that is business owned and business supported, to go in the other direction. Their own group, the Economic Policy Foundation, estimated that companies annually steal $19 billion a year in unpaid overtime to their employees. So it's kind of going in both directions, isn't it? And I mean, tremendous sums of money. And this is not even getting into all of the, not just money, but property and how it is used and how it's disused. But coming back to our study here again, we're looking at Exodus, the 20th chapter. Just this simple statement. Exodus 20 and verse 15. You shall not steal. One of the fascinating things about it is that commentators through the centuries have pointed out the idea that this commandment is almost unique. It's almost unique in that it involves and encompasses all of the others. And that's one of the amazing things about it, isn't it? Thou shalt not steal says four words, but it includes everything that God's been putting out. I mean, just look at the first four commandments. Verse 1, I mean, the very first commandment, when he says, you shall have no other gods before you. What happens if you worship and serve another god? You're stealing what belongs to God. That's a very real way to say it. What if you make other images to yourself or envision in your mind, which is what he's really talking about, envisioning in your mind something about Jehovah that is not right? You remember in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, go a few chapters over in Exodus 32. When we read that Aaron makes the calf or the bull, and he takes all the verse 4, Exodus 32 and verse 4, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And then he said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. What? Who had brought them out of the land of Egypt? Jehovah had. And he didn't look anything like a golden calf, did he? What was Aaron thinking? So number one, really, when you think about the first commandment, you should have no other gods, and there's plenty of those around. But you'll not have the wrong image and the wrong idea about other gods, or you'll not take God's name in vain. Well, that's pretty easy to see. You're stealing and taking from God what is due Him as the Creator. Or setting aside a day in which you can worship and serve Him. That's the first four commandments. And then the fifth one is honor mother and father. What if you don't do that? You're taking from them that is their right, their place, and their position. Or murder. Thou shalt not murder. Well, that's pretty easy. If you murder someone, you're taking from them the very life they have a right to. That's why we talk so much about victims' rights in our society. Or adultery. You commit adultery, you're stealing from the other spouse you're involved in. You're stealing from respect of the institution of marriage or what God wants that marriage to be and the vow that somebody made to God. You're taking away from dishonoring and ripping somebody else off. Or as we read down here in the next few laws that we'll look at later on, like you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. If you slander one of your neighbors, you're taking something away from them. You're ripping them off of something that is not right. Or the last one, covetousness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor. It's not giving them the respect and the honor that is due a neighbor and his or her possessions. That's what he's getting at when he's talking about here in the 20th chapter, when he just simply says, you shall not steal. And that's important. I mean, something could be so very simple, and yet can very easily hit at the very heart of all of our lives and interactions, our relationship with God. Also, let me suggest to you, last of all, that the Bible also teaches the principle of restitution. Restitution, to make stand again, or making it right. Exodus, look with me. Exodus, the 22nd chapter. Exodus 22, and we'll just look at, verse 1. Exodus 22, verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. And there's a whole list of them there, things that are expected to be done. If we have wronged someone, We need to make it right. And that's the way it's been for the people of God for, what, 3,000 years now? The idea of restitution is something that God expects. Look with me into the New Testament, Matthew, the 5th chapter, and we will look down, I think it's verse 23. Yeah, Matthew, the 5th chapter. Maybe we don't get the point exactly the first time we read it. Matthew 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, if you're going in to worship, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you. He has some accusation against you. You might be on your way to court. You have some accusation made against you. Your brother has something against you, verse 24. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. You go settle the problem. Make sure that when we talk about approaching God, that we don't need to go talk to somebody else before we can worship God. Restitution. Make it right. I recognize sometimes you maybe couldn't do that. Kill somebody, you're not going to be able to make restitution to that. We do in a very pitiful way, but you're not going to bring somebody back to life. Look with me back in Proverbs again. Proverbs, the 6th chapter. 6th chapter, and we look down verse 30. Matthew 6 and verse 30. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Verse 31. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Yeah, I can understand somebody being hungry. When you're hungry, you're liable to do anything. But if you do something wrong, there's going to be restitution that's made. And it might not be so very easy. And like, again, I say, this is something that's taught all through the Bible. On one occasion, Jesus meets a man, Luke, the 19th chapter. And again, we can't read all of it, but it's about talking about Zacchaeus. And in Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 5, we'll just start there. Luke 19, verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down for today. I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Verse 8, and then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. I don't understand what had happened there or what was going on in the particulars. But I understood the idea, and I understand you do too. The idea of if I've done something wrong, I'm going to make it right. And that's just a part of what the Bible is showing. I will restore it. Jesus said today, salvation has come to this house. Genuine repentance, genuine changing leads to a desire to make wrong acts right. And that's just the way it's been for thousands of years. If you steal somebody's horse and then later on you find out the truth and maybe obey the gospel and become a Christian, you need to take the horse back. I mean, think for a moment you could keep the horse. That's not proper thinking. What the Bible demands is that you make things right. You may have to go back and say just simply, I'm sorry to somebody. And work it out that way. Some things can't be taken back. Some things can't be made right. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Or like in what we call the Lord's Prayer, Matthew the 6th chapter, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So when we talk about thou shalt not steal, well, that's simple, isn't it? Four words. But it opens the door to an understanding of relationships between us and ourselves so many times, but us and others, and one of those others is God. Thou shalt not steal. We should be very concerned about what other people have and what they want in way of restitution if something has gone wrong in the past. Respect other persons. They're very ideas. Respect them. Respect yourself before God. I hope the study has been helpful for you this morning. We continue our study of the Ten Commandments, and next week or so we'll look at number 9. But these were very, very powerful and straightforward and plain teachings, and later on Jesus will mold them into just 2 commandments. Love the Lord thy God, love your neighbor as yourself. And that does describe the way we serve God. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That should be the way we think about our service to God, always. If you're subject to Heaven's Call this morning, I haven't been talking about the plan of salvation, but in Acts, the 2nd chapter, Peter, answering the question, just says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We're going to come to the Lord in a certain way to obtain remission of sins and fellowship, and that's where we start, right there. There's having enough faith and confidence and conviction in the Lord and His teaching to be able to confess Him, to repent of our sins, to be baptized into Christ. If you're here this morning, you're in that nature, and you're in that case, and you desire to be baptized, we'd be more than happy to assist you in baptizing you into Christ this morning. If you're subject, would you please come as we stand and sing?